Hello, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. I'm Bruce Edwards. If there's one country that exemplifies the difficulty in transforming mineral wealth into inclusive growth, it's the Democratic Republic of Congo.
The 2002 mining code is overly generous. So what government is getting is not that much. And to make matters worse, you have the issue of transparency.
The IMF's latest annual economic assessment indicates while growth rates for 2014 were as high as 9.2%, poverty rates in the DRC are still among the highest in the world. And while the report notes some social improvements, like better access to education, it's unlikely the DRC will achieve any of the Millennium Development Goals set by the United Nations back in 2000. Norbert Toye is the IMF mission chief for the Democratic Republic of Congo and oversaw the writing of the report.
So one of the things that struck me while reading this report is how the country has managed to maintain one of the highest growth rates in the world, while at the same time having one of the worst business environments, according to the United Nations. How can that be?
One thing is the fact that high growth rate over the past several years is mostly driven by the mining sector, more generally the natural resource sector, because in addition to the mining copper, diamond, gold, and so forth, DRC also produce oil that is export. So the growth is by and large driven by the mining sector, which we all know is an enclave industry, and it's highly capital intensive. So therefore, they don't really employ a lot of people in the formal sector.
So they're separate from the actual domestic business environment.
Yeah, absolutely. The government adopted a mining code, what we call the 2002 mining code, which many people agree is overly generous.
You mean overly generous for the industry?
In terms of tax provision, and also provide some security as far as the tax regime is concerned. So when a foreign investor bring in the capital, the environment is stabilized for them. So, and this is what attracted substantial foreign direct investment into the country.
So it seems that a lot of the wealth that or a lot of the profits that were made in the commodity industry has not trickled down over the years to the general population. Poverty rates are still extremely high. There has been some advancements in terms of access to education, for example, in the last 10 years, as the report indicates that has almost doubled. But what's holding people back from pulling themselves out of poverty?
Yeah, one thing to keep in mind, what I said before, the mining sector and the natural resource sector in general act as an enclave. Industry, capital come in, they exploit the natural resource, take it out as export, and profit got repatriated. So basically what is left in the country is the taxation that the government get. But as I said before, the 2002 mining code is overly generous. So in terms of what government is getting is not that much. And to make matters worse, you have the issue of transparency in the management of the natural resources. So basically, the government, and this is what, as you pointed out, the government revenue from the mining sector has been used to bolster education, for health sector. There have been progress, but it's not enough. And people, and as you say, poverty is pervasive.
So the report shows that the falling commodity prices globally is a risk to the country's growth rate, but it also suggests that the upcoming general elections in the country will also put added pressure on a budget that's very limited. Is a general election really a financial liability?
Yeah, you said the word, a limited budget. For a big country like the DRC, the budget hover around $5 billion US dollar, and the cost of the election as put out by the National Independent Commission, what we call locally the CENI, is $1.1 billion US dollar, which is about one-fifth of the budget of $5 billion. So you can imagine the pressure that it has on the limited government resources. Mm.
So again, the falling commodity prices, especially copper, I guess, in the DRC is very important. How dramatic an impact will that the falling price of copper have on the country? You know, most Congolese would say that they've never benefited from high commodity prices anyway. You know, what would it take to turn the abundant natural resources that the DRC has into something that would benefit most Congolese?
Yeah, two things come to mind. The new mining code, because as I said before, the 2002 mining code was overly generous. So the government has, in fact, put to the government, it is under discussion, a new mining code. So we, as an institution, our advice to the government was to ensure that the new mining code is aligned on international best practice, and in the case of the DRC, enshrine transparency. Because one of the key issues that the government have been facing is the issue of governance and transparency in the management of these resources. We think that even beyond the generosity of the 2002 mining code, the government could have had more resources, had it strengthened governance in the sector, and had more transparency in the management of the natural resources. So the falling commodity price will obviously take away a part of the government revenue because of the price effect of this. However, if the government were to ensure that the new mining code is transparent, is aligned on best international practices, then they could get more resources and transform this vast wealth into development for the benefit of the population at large.
That was Norbert Toye, IMF Mission Chief for the Democratic Republic of Congo, talking about the country's latest economic assessment. You can read the full report at imf.org and listen to more podcasts like this one at soundcloud.com/imf-podcasts.